truth of His Word. We know the truth of who He is. And then those ladies can now sing. We can go to Him in prayer.
Amen.
And we can know Him. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 tonight. Mark chapter 8, we're going to start around verse 31, but I wanted to read we'll get to it. I'm going to jump ahead of myself. Then it got me all stirred up, and I'm ready to jump right in. You know, we live in a world today that says up is down, right is really wrong, and wrong is right, and black is not really black, it's white, and you know, or gray or yellow or something odd. We live in a world that doesn't hold to the truth. We live in a world that says that truth is relevant, that it is whatever you make it out to be. Whatever you think truth is, that's what truth is. We know that according to God's word, there's only one true truth.
That's right.
And we have that in our King James Bible.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
But I want to talk tonight about the freedom that we find in truth. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 31, let me get there with you if I get in the right chapter. That is not, I'm so sorry. I said Mark. I was in John and I said Mark. We're going to John chapter 8. Everybody's looking at me funny like, those verses have nothing to do with what you're talking about. I told you they got me stirred up and I was ready to jump into it too fast. John chapter 8. Don't go to Mark. John chapter 8 and verse 31. It says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So as we think about this tonight, Jesus says that we can know the truth. The world says there's nothing that truly is true. It's all relevant. Whatever you think it is, that's what it is. The truth is what you see it for, and we don't have any right to say that we absolutely know the truth, that it might offend someone, or it might, and I'm going to have to be careful, or I'm going to get too stirred up tonight. I don't want to jump into the political realm, but we know that there's a lot of lies there. As Danny Smith used to say, the Republican or Democrat, either one, it's still two wings on the same buzzard. And so we know that there's lies out there in this world, right? The world loves lies. The world is a lie, right? It is led by the father of lies. And we know not only the world, but there's churches out there today that promote lies. They have their own agenda, whether it's pride or arrogance or money, finances, whatever it is. This world believes a lie. We went from preaching to teaching. And what I mean by that is preaching ought to challenge you. It ought to cause you to make a decision, to come to a conclusion, to make a determination. And we have churches today that want to just have discussion groups. And everybody discuss in this little group of what they think the truth is or what this passage might mean. Listen, when you're studying the Word of God, there's only one true meaning to the passage that you're reading. There might be some several different applications to that passage, but there's only one truth. But there's churches that would say, well, what do you think about it, Brother Randy? Well, what do you think, Mike? Oh, you disagree with Randy? Well, that's okay. That's good. Tom, you think something different. And they go away not really ever knowing the truth.
Right.
And so, just to be honest, there, if you look at it that way, their doctrine, their standards are based on a lie because they never knew the truth.
That's right.
And so, I'm thankful tonight, first of all, that we do have a church that holds to the truth of the Word of God. But let's look at first the effects of what lies cause. where it's rooted, where it's grounded, the reasoning of it, the results of it. Let's look at this tonight. In this passage, chapter 8 and 1 through 11, there's an account where the Pharisees bring this woman and they accuse her and they say that she's caught in adultery and they throw her down before Jesus expecting him to judge her. And he says, yeah, you know, he who was, let's look at verse 9. It says, and they which heard it begin being convicted, he says in verse 8, and he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And we don't know what he wrote. And they which heard it being convicted of their own conscience went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the least. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing there in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? And hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And the Lord said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. And you get to verse 13, and it says, and the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. And they say, what? Thy record is not true. So here are these men, and they brought this woman, and Jesus has convicted them. He's confronted them. They couldn't say anything, so they back away, but they're still there. Right? That's one thing that you have to remember in Jesus' ministry. There were always the crowds. There were always people that believed. There were always folks there that he helped, that learned of him and had gotten saved. But there are always these Pharisees there waiting in their minds to confront him, to accuse him, to catch him in whatever falsehood that they thought they could, which is a little ridiculous. But that's what they were there for. Jesus says, if you walk in the, he says, verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees, they therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell where I come and whither I go. He says, verse 15, ye judge after the flesh. So their thought patterns and their reasoning is based after the flesh. As we think about lies tonight, as this lie, this untruth, this attitude, this philosophy of this world, first and foremost, we have to understand that it's rooted in Satan himself. Jesus says over in verse 44, he said plainly, ye are of your father, he's talking to the Pharisees. He says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So these lies, these untruths, these false doctrines, these things are all rooted in Satan himself. It's reasoned in the flesh. He said, you don't understand what I'm trying to say to you. You don't understand that I am the truth, because all your philosophy, all your thoughts are rooted and grounded in the flesh as you serve Satan himself. Even though you might not even realize you are, you're serving Satan himself through your own flesh. So here they are, and they have it's not so much that, yes, they would accuse Jesus of lying when they were the ones that were actually lying. Yes, they would have problems with the truth. Yes, they had attitudes, but it goes a little deeper than just them trying to lie and make themselves look good. It was a deeper, it shaped all of their reasoning. All of their mindset, right, was totally against Christ, totally against the things of God. And because of that, we see the results in their lives and in what's going on. Sin, these lies brought about, first of all, they bring about a bondage to sin. We're going to look at a lot of verses in this. We're going to move around quick. Look in verse 23. It says, and he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above, ye are of this world, I am not of this world. Verse 34, he says, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin." Verse 41, "Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." And Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word." And he goes on to talk about the fact that ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of the father will you do. So they're in bondage, they're slaves to their sin. As we think about ourselves, before we were saved, we were slaves to sin. We served Satan. He was our master, even though we didn't realize that. Sin brings bondage. If a person tells a lie, if you want that to keep up, if you don't want that to be found out, what do you usually have to do? Yeah, tell another lie. And you're bound by that, aren't you? It ties you up. It constrains you. Sin and lies constrain you until you confess those things and you get freedom from that. The Bible says you're its servant. It makes it, as it were, you are a slave to Satan. They not only were in bondage to sin, but they were willing to believe a lie. Look there in verse 43. It says, "They were of their father, the devil," right? "And the lust of the father will ye do." And he was, and so they were willing to follow after him. Verse 45 says, "And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." Right? They didn't want to hear the truth. They didn't want to follow after. And it wasn't so much just because they were against Jesus Christ and they were trying to protect their position and they were arrogant and prideful and messed up with the thought that Jesus could actually draw people from them when they should have been pointing people to the Lord in the beginning anyway. But they wanted to believe the lie. They refused to believe the truth. They chose that. He says in verse 7, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not." Why? Because ye are not of God. They not only were willing to believe a lie, but they couldn't discern the truth. Back in verse 19, it says, Then said they unto him, "Where is thy father?" Jesus answered, "Ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, ye would have known my father also." Now, who were these men? They're the leaders of Israel. They're the religious leaders, the ones who should be pointing people to God, who should be directing them to serve the Lord, to understand things about God, spiritual discernment. And here they are saying, "Who's your father now? Where is he? Who are you?" And I think they understood it more than they put on, but they willingly chose to deny him. Verse 25, it says that then said they unto him, "Who art thou?" Jesus said to them, "Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning." He said, "I have many things to say and to judge you, but he hath sent me he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." In verse 27, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. They couldn't discern the truth. Down in verse 57, it says that, "Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old and hast seen Abraham." Jesus had talked about Abraham there in verse 56. And they can't discern what Jesus is trying to tell them. They can't understand the spiritual lessons that he's trying to give them, because they're blinded by their own sin, their own lies, their own hypocrisy, their own pride, all of those things that are in their life, and they can't deal with truth. Verse 59, you know what their reaction was to Jesus when he talked to them about the truth? The Bible says, "Then they took up stones to cast at him." Right? Their reaction was violent. They wanted to go after him. They wanted to destroy him. And their end result is eternal damnation. In verse 21, Jesus said that Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. These men were so foolish, they said to themselves, said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, and I am not of this world. And so he says to them, because of all of this, you're going to die in your sin. Now I think about all of that, and I think about the root being Satan, the reasoning of the flesh, and all of these results in this world. People are bound by sin. People are held away from the truth. They're blinded to the truth because of their pride and their arrogance. And it goes deeper than that now, doesn't it? In our world today, we live in a country that says you have to believe their way. If you believe the truth, then you're wrong, right? They don't want to hear the truth. They believe a lie. And not only, it goes deeper than that. They don't want to just say they believe a lie. They want to come and force their lie on him. And if he doesn't believe that lie, then he's wrong, and they need to react violently just like they did, and as it were, cast stones at him. We live in a world that's consumed with lies and pride and arrogance and untruth. And we see all of these things. And by the way, if we're not saved, that's where we are today. We are following a lie. And if we don't receive Jesus Christ and the truth of Him and His Word, we'll die in our sin. I think about the fact that, you know, you can almost understand that the world would believe that way. You know, it bothers us that they won't believe on Christ, but you understand where the world's coming from. It's Satan's system. It's his world. It's the system that's against God, but you know, there's times that if we're not careful, that Christians can follow this same pattern. And it's really dangerous, isn't it? I think about churches today that veer off from the truth of God's Word and begin to try to reason from their own flesh. And they make decisions not based upon God's Word, but based upon their emotions and their fleshly desires and that sort of thing. Even good men sometimes make the mistake of following after the world, trying to please the world. Isn't that what it was all about for the Pharisees, was the outward appearance? Looking right, acting right, people following them, giving off a certain air about themselves, and they were upset that Jesus was ruining that for them. Jesus said they were white sepulchres full of dead men's bones. I think about churches today, though, that veer off of the truth. Sometimes they fall for a lie that somehow the world and that system and that philosophy and living after the flesh is what's going to be to draw a crowd or to draw the people in. They veer from the truth. They get the wrong Bible. They start to follow the wrong Bibles, and they start to move away from God's Word as the foundation for what they believe. They start to pattern their life after what the world would want. There are churches today that actually survey communities not to see who needs to be saved or to see who is not in church or needs to be in church, that sort of thing, but just to simply see what they like, what kind of music they like, what kind of dress they like, what kind of things they like, so that they can have it in their church to please them and to draw them in. They get away from godly music. Godly music that honors the Lord, and they begin to play the worldly music. I remember I was at a church one time at a graduation, and we're there. My kids were just a little, and they're used to standards set by leadership. And praise the Lord that we have a pastor who sets godly standards based on God's Word. And we're there. Of course, I'm just there. I'm not in charge of anything. And they had the platform clear, so you didn't really know what was going to be going on. And all of a sudden, they started playing really heavy Christian rock music to the point where it was literally shaking the pews in the floor. And each one of my kids looked down the aisle and looked at me like, what are you going to do about that, Dad? How are you going to handle this? And of course, yeah, I'm like, but it upset me. But But you know, that's where it leads to when we get away from the truth and the standards of the Word of God, when it no longer is our foundation, but the world's lies and even our own flesh and our own desires. Sometimes people do that. They move churches in that direction because of pride and arrogance. They want a certain stature. They want to be able to say they pastor a church of 5,000 people, whatever it is. And you know, just because a church is big doesn't mean that it's wrong. But sometimes the ones that are big, just because it's big doesn't mean it's right either. They use the world's approach. They follow after the flesh. And because of that, in that mindset, they are bound by sin. Sin bring bondage. Lies bring bondage. They're bound by that. What happens the moment they go to leave that? Let's say God convicts their heart and they want to, man, we need to really start holding to the standards. We need to get back to the truths of the Word of God. What's going to happen to the crowd? The crowd begins to leave. So in order for them to keep the crowd, what do they have to do? They have to stay to the same philosophy, the same mindset, the same worldly, fleshly mindset. And so they're bound by that. Sin always leaves a trap, doesn't it? And the lies of this world entangle us. And so we see the results of all that. So we see the lies revealed, but also we see the truth that's received. Opposite of this, I guess you could say. I heard the other day that it was opposite day. I'm not sure who my opposite is, but I don't know. Maybe he, I don't know. But the opposite of that is it's rooted in Christ. Jesus said over in it says about Jesus in John chapter 1, the Bible says that He was in the world, talking about Jesus Christ. Verse 9, it says that He was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own received Him not. But as many as Him received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. He says in verse 14, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Bible says in verse 17 of chapter 1, For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ brought truth. He is truth. Verse 23 of chapter 8, he says, And He said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, but I am not of this world. Verse 34, he says, they answered, said, We be Abraham's seed. Right? They're arrogant. They're prideful about it. They said, We be Abraham's seed. And by the way, they lied. They said, We were never in bondage to any man. Wait. Wasn't there a group of people, the Babylonians or somebody? Didn't something like that happen? But they were denying this It says, and Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever committeth sin is the servant's sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be what? Free indeed. Verse 16. He says, And yet if you judge, my judgment is true. For I'm not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. Verse 26, he says, I have many things to say to judge of you, but He that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him. Verse 31, he says, Then said Jesus to those Jews who believe on Him, If ye continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus Christ is the root of truth. Not only is He truth, He doesn't just give us truth. His word is not just truth. He is truth itself. Right? Jesus said this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is truth. Now, the world doesn't like that. The world doesn't like to hear about that. They don't want to hear the truth of Jesus Christ and who he is. They want to say that he's just a prophet or he was just a good man. But when we say that he's God, they don't want to hear that. They want to hear the truth of him. But it doesn't matter, does it? He is who he is, and he is the truth. Therefore, he's true. So the root is Christ. It was recorded by the Father or stood record by the Father. Verse 14. He said, Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. It's rooted in Christ. It's recorded by the Father. It's backed up by him. The words that Jesus Christ gave came from the Father. They are both the same. And those that receive the word of God receive the truth. If we receive the truth, then we can also begin to understand the truth. The Bible says in verse 32 and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We receive the word of God. We begin to understand the word of God. The reasoning is through his Holy Spirit and his direction and his guidance. He begins to show us things of him. As we think about the results of God's truth, first and foremost, there's freedom from sin. We are released from sin itself and the bondage of sin in our lives. God gives us the truth of his word. We see the truth of the gospel. We see the fact that Jesus Christ came and died and was buried and rose again, that he paid the penalty for our sin. And we see that truth. God works on our hearts. He convicts us. He opens our eyes and we understand the truth. And through our repentance, we receive freedom from sin. We are also, he says in verse 36, he said this. Let me read that one. He says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Verse 12, he says, Jesus spake and said unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So it goes beyond just our freedom from sin and salvation, but freedom from the power of sin in our daily lives to be able to walk in the light of God's word and God's truth and following after him. We're free to walk and to serve him. We don't have to be bound by sin. We don't have to be influenced by Satan. We don't have to be oppressed by this world. We live in a hard world. We live in a world that is oppressive. But it doesn't have to bother us. We can follow God and follow his truth and stay to that and have power to live our lives to serve God. Not only that, but it gives eternal life. Verse 50, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? And as I think about all of this and we think about this world, listen, we live in a hard world, don't we? We live in a world that promotes lies, that says, like I said, says right is wrong and wrong is right. And, you know, we were talking about this thing with New York and the approval of this so-called bill for abortion and right up until the day that the baby's due. I can't imagine that. But they twist it with a lie and say that it's all for the mother and to protect the mother and that sort of thing. Just let her have the baby and give it the baby to somebody that wants it and move along. But we live in that kind of a world. If we're not careful, we can be beat down by that. We can get depressed by that. We can be... It can oppress us. But we have freedom in Christ. We have, and listen, as I think about this, if we ever needed anyone to stand for the truth of God's word, to hold to the truth, it's now. If we never needed a time where God's word should be the standard, it's now. This world tries to veer from it. Listen, I could be wrong. I don't think I am. But I think that as the years go on, the persecution on Christians in our country is just going to get worse and worse and worse. And if we don't hold to the truths of God's word, then it can influence our life. It can affect us. But if we hold to God's truth, rely on that, and understand that there's freedom from that, right? That no matter what goes on, listen, we can walk in the light. And a matter of fact, what are they going to do to me? Send me to heaven, right? We have eternal life. We're guaranteed those things through Jesus Christ. We have victory in Him.
Amen.
By the way, God, you know, as we think about this, there's so many things I want to say that I keep getting ahead of myself, but God blesses those who follow His word. There's times, that, like I said, there's churches out there, and there's some good men who veer from the truth of God's word, that whether it's for popularity or pressure, whatever it is, they veer from that. And we just need to hold to the standards of God's word. We need to be a people of God's word, right? We need to let God's word make our choices for us daily. We need to follow after Him. We need to follow after His truth, what He says for our lives, and be obedient to that and have a conviction about that, that we hold to God's truth no matter what comes along in our lives. No matter what trials come along, no matter what oppression comes along, no matter what depression comes, whatever it is, we need to hold to the truths of God's word. I'm thankful that we have a pastor that does that, that holds to God's word as truth, and he leads our church according to God's word. But you know, there's a lot of churches out there that it's not the pastor who's swaying from God's word, it's the people in the congregation who are swaying, and they're trying to influence that pastor to get away. They're trying to pressure him to do their will, to follow after the flesh that they're desiring, and to get away from the truths of God's word. But if we just hold to God's standards, we hold to the truth, we don't have to worry about that, do we? And so we need to be rooted in Christ. We need to be grounded in Him. We need to follow after. You know, the Bible talks about in Psalm chapter 1 about a believer who is rooted and grounded in Christ, and it compares him to a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaves don't wither, and all the things that he does prospers. Why? Because he followed after the truth of God's word. And listen, it's not always easy to do that, is it? You know, I remember working in, I can say this, well, I'd say it anyway, but I had a guy I used to work for in West Virginia years ago who was trying, we had lost an account, and he's gone now. He passed away years ago, and nobody even know him, so. But this guy had lost this big account and was working on extra equipment, and he approached me one day on the phone, and he said, you know, we really need to get that back. I said, yeah, well, you know, we're trying, whatever. And he wanted me to go in. They had bought some equipment from another company. He wanted me to go in and damage their equipment so they would look bad and somehow come back to us. And I refused to do it. Sometimes the world's going to ask you to do things that aren't right. Now, he didn't. He just went and tried to talk to somebody else besides me about it. And when I finally confronted him enough about it that he gave up the idea. But he could have said, well, if you don't do that, you don't have a job. Matter of fact, he tried that with the other guy who was a little less more conviction than me. And, you know, the world will oppress us to do the wrong things. The world will press you to do, you know, the world, listen, there's book after book after book after book of plans and promotions of if you want to build your church, you'll do this, this, and this. You won't be so strict about your standards. You won't halt. You'll mix up your music a little bit. You do all of these things if you really want to get, you know, and then somebody does it, and all lo and behold, down the road, they've got a crowd and you don't. And if you're not careful, you can be tempted to follow after that thought pattern. But we need to hold to God's word.
Amen.
We need to hold to the truth. Now, for us to hold to the truth, we have to be in the truth. We have to understand what the truth is. It has to be part of us. So we have to have a conviction about us in order for that to happen. I think about that there may be somebody here tonight who all of this is new to you. Maybe you're lost and you don't know the Lord. You haven't had a time in your life where you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says that when we're lost, we are at enmity with God. We are enemies of God. And we are of our father, the devil. And for us to be free from that, we have to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, there is freedom in Christ, isn't there? Doesn't matter what our backgrounds are. Doesn't matter what we've been involved in. There's always forgiveness. But what did I read in the first chapter of John? That grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The truth of who he is and our need to be saved. But then there's grace and mercy and a love and forgiveness with him.
Amen.
And if we accept him today, we can have freedom from that. Maybe you're dealing with some things in your Christian life tonight where you know, you're struggling with those things. We just need to get back to the truths of the Word of God. We need to hold to that. Jesus, that's one thing about the Lord Jesus. He doesn't mince words about things. He says, I'm truth. Follow me. If you say you're a believer, then walk in the light. Follow me. Live in the light. Maybe you're struggling with that today. There's forgiveness. There's freedom from that. But it's only found in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's only found in reconciliation with him. We need to be reconciled in salvation, but we need to daily stay right with the Lord. You know, we live in the world and we're oppressed by the world and we're influenced by the world, and we have to have a daily time that we're clean, don't we? And so we have to ask God's forgiveness in those things. You know, we don't have to be defeated by that. Listen, there might be somebody, and I don't even know, but there might be somebody here tonight that maybe you're in a position where someone's asking you to do something that's just not right. Maybe you make a stand at work, and if you make that stand and you stand for what is right, I'm not saying I'm be foolish and you know, cause problems for yourself, but if there's issues there and you just need to take a stand and stand for what is right, and it may be that if you do, you're going to lose your job. Jesus Christ says, if you stand and walk in the light, I'll bless you and I'll help you and I'll direct you and I'll keep you. And there's freedom in that. You know, I deal with kids all the time, and it's interesting to see them. You know, I used to tell my kids that they get in trouble. I say, you know, just tell me the truth and I promise it'll be easier on you. If not, well, it's going to be way worse, right? Consequences get worse if you lie. But there's always forgiveness in God. There's always some things. Maybe you just simply, you know, sometimes we can follow after the world and have that kind of a thought pattern of just living for self and living after our own flesh and not being concentrated on what God has for our life, sometimes without even realizing that. Whatever it is, we need to deal with it tonight. Let's stand, and as Brother Tom sing,